Good morning. I'd like to offer a very warm welcome to you all this morning at Wesley Memorial. I'm Mary, I'm one of the stewards team, and we offer this welcome to those in person and on Zoom, and we also offer it whether you've been coming for many, many years or whether this is the first time that you've been here. We hope that you'll find a warm welcome. We particularly welcome old friends who are returning to visit today. After the service, we invite you to come through to the church hall for tea, coffee and cold water, or squash, if that's what you prefer, which on this day I'm sure you might well do. And we hope that you'll take that opportunity to chat and get to know each other, maybe talk to somebody you've not spoken to before. I'm just going to flash up a couple of, or three notices really, to draw people's attention to the fact that on Thursday it's the Friendship Walk, which is a really special occasion when members of the Oxford community join together to walk together from the synagogue to St Mary's and then on to the mosque. And it's a really good chance to get to know new people and chat. So we hope that some of you will be able to join us then. Also, the garden party that was planned for next Sunday has been postponed until the end of August, but we hope you'll still come along to that. And also on the 6th, I think it is, of July, it's the church annual church meeting. And we, at that point, we nominate and but we have our new stewards and members of church council. So I've got two lists here, which I will have in coffee. We've got some nominations already for stewards and church council, and we need seconders and proposers on there. And we also need anybody who's been nominated to sign the sheet. So please come and find me in coffee. So the main thing is that we're very pleased this morning that Joanna Tullock, one of our congregation and stewards, and a local preacher in the Oxford circuit, will be leading our worship. So we really look forward to Joanna's service. Thank you, Joanna.
I've got it on. Thank you, Mary, for welcoming me, and a very warm welcome from me to all of you here. I'm going to have a very short prayer before the call to worship. So let us pray. Gracious God, as conflict in the Middle East increases, we come to talk to you about the uncertainty of the world and the unknown future. Give us faith in your promises, hope in the life, death, and resurrection of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who came to show us the way of peace, and a determination to spread your love to everyone we meet. In Jesus' name, amen. And our call to worship comes from the Iona community, and there will be some words in yellow for you to join in. If you come in certainty or in confusion, in anger or in anguish, this time is for us. If you come in silent suffering or hidden sorrow, in pain or promise, if you come for your own or another's need, for a private wound or the wound of the world, if you come and do not know why, to be here is enough. Come now, Christ of the forgiving warmth. Come now, Christ of the yearning tears. Come now, Christ of the transforming touch. This time is for you. One of the psalms set for today in the lectionary is Psalm 42. And this is one of our favourite songs, so we're going to sing it from the red book, if you're using a book, number 544, As the Deer Pants for the Water. Another couple of short prayers. Let us pray. Lord, we come to worship you in all your power and beauty. We praise you as the creator of the world around us, the one who could turn the random and chaotic into the real and lovely. And we thank you for all the blessings of this life that you have poured on us. You give us life and energy and experience. You give us love and family and friends. And more than all this, you who rule the heavens gave us your Son, Jesus, to share the life of this world, to know all its vulnerability and anguish and pain, to live and die and live again, so that we could be forgiven and loved and free. Thank you, gracious God, for showing us your love. We know we constantly let you down, that we tend to think of ourselves rather than others, that we don't pass on the blessings we have received from you. Please forgive us again and persuade us of the power of love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wonder whether the young people would like to come and sit at the front here, because I have something to show you. I have two boxes of tricks. Who would like a box of tricks to open? Yeah. And this is another one which is quite heavy. So just open the lid and have a look at what's inside. Can you manage that one? It's a bit stiff. Shall I have a go? Ah, well done. What do you think those are that you can see in that pot? Coloured stones, yes. What are they for, do you think? Similar. They are for making mosaics. Do you remember having made mosaics in the past sometime? Yes, and they have a special name. I don't know whether somebody in the congregation might know the special name, or you might even. Yes? Did you say yes? No? Tessera, yeah. About 3 weeks ago, I went on a holiday to Italy. And one of the places I went to was a place called Ravenna, where there are lots of very, very old mosaics. And they have very tall churches in that part of the country called basilicas. And the mosaics were just breathtakingly beautiful. I can't really describe how lovely they were. Could we have the first slide, please? So that's just a pile of mosaics, and the next. And the next one. Now, this is a clue to what they're for. They're for making mosaic patterns, sometimes of people and sometimes of objects or just patterns, just nice light and dark. Now, when I was in Ravenna, I found a mosaic that is about the story that we're going to study in church after you've gone to your own activities. And it's a story about Jesus meeting a man who was very sorry, in a very sorry state. He was worried and troubled, and he was having horrible thoughts, and everybody had rejected him. He was left to live on his own in the tombs, which was a scary place. But when Jesus met him, he wanted to heal him. But the first time he tried to heal him, it didn't work. So can you guess what he might have done to make it work? Any ideas? What would you do if you tried to do something and it didn't work? Yes. You would try again. Yes, that's right. So he did try again. And the second time he asked the man's name. And he started to engage with the man. So he started to get to know him and listen to what he had to say. And this was very important for this man who'd been living alone, who'd been cut out of society almost. And when he asked his name, the man suddenly became well. So what I thought was that you might like to go and make some mosaics. And you can take these with you. We'll actually take those ones with you. Maybe we'll give them to Mel. And that one you don't really need because it's just a little. Now, on the next slide, you'll see a mosaic of this man with Jesus. And this is after he had been made well. Now, I don't suppose you'll want to do something as complicated as that, but I think you've got some ideas. Perhaps for something to do with flowers and birds and... Yeah, so have a good time doing that. And in a change to the order of service, we're not going to sing a hymn now. We're going to say a blessing to the young people, and they'll reply. So, the Lord be with you. Instead of that hymn that we were going to have, the choir are going to sing it for us, which will be great fun, I think. So, over to the choir.
The love of God has flowed.
Thank you very much for that choir. Lovely. Now we're going to look at Seeing Beyond, which is a reflection on art and Christian faith by Vicky Davies, whom some of you will remember used to be a member here. This Lego mosaic, which shows up better on the side screens, is by Catherine Duclos, and it's entitled, I Will Ahead of You and Scaffold the Light so You Can Always See the Way Forward. And here Vicky's going to give her a reflection on this image from her series Seeing Beyond. This is what Vicky says. This artwork has an intriguing title. It reminds me of Bible verses such as, Your word is a lamp at my feet and a light to my path, or I am the way, the truth, and the life. The artwork itself, with its colours, its playful pieces of Lego, and its blocky grid, reminds me of the old-fashioned video game landscape still present in some of my children's favourite games today. Here is a varied landscape with rigid passages, with smooth and rough parts, with little traps and enclosed spaces, with rounded bumps and spiky outcrops. At times, the colours map out clear paths to follow, but when they suddenly fiddle out or come to an abrupt end, who will go ahead of us and show us the way forward? Sometimes we like to think that God has everything mapped out for us, that we just need to find God's route and follow it. As we look back at our lives, we weave it into a coherent story or journey, and it all seems so intentional that we ended up where we are now. But probably that's just our brain playing tricks, turning everything into a story to help us remember things and make sense of the world. What if life is more like this Lego landscape, with some clear paths, but also full of unexpected obstacles, with no one route, but an open landscape for us to explore and negotiate? What if the question isn't so much which path we take or follow, but what we do with it while we're on it? Do we zip along at a rate of knots to take our time, or take our time and look around? Do we go alone or with others? When we get trapped in a trough, do we fight it or accept it? Do we wait for others to haul us out, or do we try to get out ourselves? And what if there is no right or wrong answer to these questions? But instead, whatever square we're on, our task is simply to see who or what is before us and respond in whatever way will increase peace and love and wholeness. The people who made the Ravenna mosaics practiced something like the scaffolding of the light that is spoken about here. They used coloured glass tesserae, which I was talking to the children about, some of which were backed with gold foil to make the light sparkle, and some were set on a slant, which had a similar effect. Now we come to our readings for today, from Galatians and Luke.
Good morning. The first reading for today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, The law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillsides, a large herd of swines was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep banks into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by the demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him.
One human family God has made. This is number 687 if you're using the red book. Now we'll sing.
Be the Lord.
Let us pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm going to be very traditional today and offer you 3 points. One of them is about faith, one is about hope, and the other is about love. But in a way, they're all about power as well. Our love of power, which we find in the world, the gentle healing power of God and Jesus, and the power of love that we can grow to mend our societies and help build God's kingdom. I always like to look around the passages that are set in the lectionary, as it's interesting and sometimes crucial to understand why the gospel writers arranged their material in the way they did. Often you'll find that the gobbet you have to preach on is just that, a bit from here and a bit from there, and none of it really telling the whole story. This is true up to a point in the stories we've looked at today. There are several important pieces of information in the preceding passages of Galatians and Luke's Gospel. In the case of Galatians, we're given the end point of a long disquisition on law and faith, in which Paul is aiming to show that there is no longer any need to be constrained by the Jewish law which led to death, but that accepting Christ and believing in his death and resurrection was the only way to be justified by faith. The result is that, as the 28th verse puts it, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians is thought to have been written early on Paul's missionary journeys, and in this letter he was trying largely to discount those Jewish teachers who said that practices such as circumcision were necessary for converts, whereas Paul says that the law was never meant to do the work of God's promise to Abraham, and instead of applying this promise to Jewish people who were known as Abraham's seed, Paul makes it apply to Gentile Christians through the death and resurrection of Jesus. There were some Greco-Roman cults which claimed to ignore social divisions, but in practice they were too expensive for any but the well-off to belong to. But the early Christians were well known for ignoring such differences. Although this mainly applied to differences between Jews and Gentiles, Paul's argument takes it further in saying that class and gender differences should also be considered outdated. So here we have the basis of the whole doctrine of faith, but also the kernel of inclusiveness, which is important to us here in Wesley Memorial. It was a central feature of Jesus's practice, always seeking out the ostracized and the excluded. As Richard Rohr wrote in a recent meditation, Jesus knows how to connect the dots and find out where the sacred text is truly leading. Beyond the lower level consciousness of a particular moment, individual, or circumstance, he knows there's a bigger arc to the story, one that reveals God as compassionate and inclusive. Moving to Luke, we find the miracles that Jesus performs are set out together in a series of different examples of his power to control the forces of nature and the forces of evil. Immediately before our gospel passage today, there is the story of Jesus falling asleep in the boat when a storm blew up, and all the disciples were fearing for their lives. Jesus' reaction is to rebuke them for their lack of faith Did they think he would let them drown? But also, he has them asking, who is this that the wind and waves obey him? He has shown them his power, but he's also shown them that it's a benevolent power. In considering today's story, we need to go back even further to Jesus' temptations in the wilderness, where we see that Jesus never used his power for his own ends or to get himself out of a tricky situation, but used the power he had to defeat the demons, which resulted in the saving of others from harm. And so we come to the subject of hope and the case of the man most often labelled in Bibles as just the demoniac. This poor person was so tormented by demons that he was literally at his wit's end. He was surely without any hope at all, even when he first saw Jesus, because the demons had said that Jesus had come to torment him further. He was an outcast from his society. He'd lived naked and hopeless in the tombs where he could only expect more torment. He'd lost his dignity and his individuality. And his nakedness would have been abhorrent to Jews, making him ritually unclean. And he might have been regarded as no better than the pigs around him. This was a Gentile area where pigs, considered the most unclean of animals by the Jews, were raised. His name also, Legion, seemed to sentence him to a hopeless existence. How many thousands of demons was he harboring? But Jesus soon showed his compassion and came alongside. As Psalm 22 has it, and this is the other psalm that's set for today in the lectionary, Jesus did not despise the affliction of the afflicted, thus increasing hope of deliverance. Jesus listened and brought about a happy outcome. He treated the man as an individual, as somebody needing dignity. And this is reinforced by the fact that the man was able to go home clothed and in his right mind and witness to what God had done for him. I'm reminded of a favorite verse that I had on my bedside table on several of the occasions when I was in hospital, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For surely I know what my plans for you are, to save you, and not to harm you, to give you a future and to give you hope. Then we have love, not the love of power such as we see in many places today, but the power of love as shown by Jesus, a gentle and embracing love, a determination to make things better for people on the margins. So maybe we could think about what we might do to embrace people who have nothing in this world and little hope for the future. For example, since the COVID pandemic, there's been an avalanche of mental health problems, especially in children and young people, together with a shortage of money for professional help. But just having someone ask your name and listen to you, really listen, can make a huge difference to the lonely, the hopeless, or the troubled. For there are ways of speaking that use no words. Their phrasings sketched by minute lines appearing and disappearing round the eyes, or by the ballet of a hand coming to rest just so after shrugging the air. There are ways of signalling that something must be said for which the words can't be found yet, but will appear in the waiting space between two people who sit expectantly in silence, trusting each other. No dictionaries exist to list the lexicon of this language of the spirit, no grammars from which you can study its syntax. Rather, you must learn it by being there, by total immersion in the situations for which it is the mother tongue, attuning your ears to its quiet cadences, acquiring the deep structure of a look, a gesture, or a touch, and waiting, patiently waiting, for the right time to speak. We're getting quite good at being an inclusive church, but we could be more inclusive, I think, in our neighbourhoods and societies. Not everybody who needs the love of Jesus comes to church. So to sum up, this morning we've had a story about faith, which also led us to find the kernel of inclusiveness. There is no longer Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. Then we had a story about compassion and hope, as Jesus didn't despise the affliction of the afflicted, so that the demoniac was freed from his demons and returned to his hometown, ready to share with his friends and family what God had done for him. And finally, we have had a story about love, of its benevolent power that is so much more wholesome than the love of power that we see in the world. For now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. We sing the hymn 693 in the Red Book, Beauty for Brokenness. you sit down. Now we come to our prayers of intercession. In the first prayer, there isn't a response, but in the second prayer, the response to Lord, hear us is Lord, graciously hear us. Let us pray. Gracious God, generous and friendly, be with us now as we pray for ourselves and for the world. God of light and darkness, when we are inclined to choose the biggest, the strongest, the wealthiest, the most powerful, help us to see with your eyes. Help us to move beyond outward appearances, to see the potential in the insignificant, the beauty in the bleakness, the energy emerging in struggle and resilience. When we are confused and unseeing, bewildered and at a loss, not knowing which way to turn, gently nudge us in the right direction, feeling along the paths where you walk beside us. When we are unseeing and unknowing, embraced by mystery and surrounded by a blanket of darkness, help us to move beyond seeing to the blind trust in your presence, to the faith that reaches beyond sight, beyond knowing, to grasp your loving wisdom. Amen. Now we pray for those who are struggling at the moment, both in our own country and in the wider world. For families and individuals struggling to make ends meet. For those living in refugee camps or war zones. For those trying to find a better life for their dependents, for those who have lost loved ones to illness, addiction, war, or violence. Show us how to care for them, be present to them in their distress, and give them comfort and hope. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We pray for those who wield power in the world, that they may act with justice and fairness. When world leaders and multinational corporations put profit before the well-being of people, communities, and a flourishing planet, we pray that our words, our pilgrimage, and our actions may be a witness, encouraging and inspiring them to make radical commitments. Commitments that will restore the earth and lead to justice for communities confronted by the climate crisis. And may they lead us onto a new path for a sustainable future where we live in harmony with all life. Open our senses to all we encounter and be with us that we may walk in safety. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. God of truth and mercy, whose voice we miss in the distractions of our lives, penetrate the core of our being that we might hear and be glad, knowing ourselves accepted in your love, able once again to live in your truth and forgiveness. Awaken us to our true nature, to live in peace with you, each other, and all creation. By restoring harmony and balance, we too will be restored to wholeness. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Amen. Now we join together in the Lord's Prayer. The words will be on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Our final hymn is from the Oxford Circuit Songbook, the Orange Book, and it's number 115. O Lord, all the world belongs to you. And the offertory will be taken up during this reading, this song. Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for all that you have accomplished. And we ask that you will take this money that we bring you now and also our lives to build your kingdom, to turn the world upside down. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.